Broadcasting from the Mono Wind Casino Studios. This is Multicultural AM 1600, KGST, Fresno.
This is a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM, so please stay tuned.
Tune into All Things Armenian, presented by the Armenian Studies Program at California State University, Fresno. Enjoy in-depth conversation on the Armenian culture and learn everything going on in the valley within the Armenian community. Listen every Sunday at 2 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Welcome to All Things Armenian. I'm your host, Professor Barlo Dermagradichian. This week, a new documentary is going to be aired in the San Joaquin Valley area. Actually, it's going to be two documentaries, which will be airing on April the 22nd and 24th on Valley PBS, starting at 7 p.m. And the two documentaries are 100 Years from Home and also What Will Become of Us. And today I have as my guests, two guests, actually. I have the director of 100 Years from Home, Jared White, and his wife, Lily Pelikian, who is also a producer for the film and also the main subject of the film. Welcome to All Things Armenian, Jared and Lily.
Thank you for having us, Barlo.
Yeah,
thank you.
Happy to be here.
Thank you. It's really good to have you here. So today we want to just talk a little bit about the film, which I had the opportunity to see, and I want to talk to you a little bit about some of the background for the film. And Lily, I'll probably start with you. So tell us a little bit about yourself before we talk about the film, because actually your history, your biography is probably a central part of the film itself.
Sure. I am. I'm sorry. I wasn't expecting this question. I'm an industrial designer. That's what I am by training. Nowhere near documentary filmmaking before this film. My husband's a filmmaker. And when the 100th anniversary of the Armenian genocide was coming up, I felt compelled to do something about it. So I asked Jared if we could film the processions of the marches, basically, for the 100th, and put together a little 15-minute short documentary for it. That was quite a while ago. It has evolved significantly.
Several years later, it's turned into an hour-long documentary that'll be on Valley PBS.
That I had zero intention of being in, but have been roped into being the main subject of.
Well, the 100-year anniversary, of course, is central to the film because of your role in it. So you just mentioned that you wanted to make something short, but what was it about the 100th anniversary that sort of made you want to make a film rather than maybe do something else?
I mean, I did a number of other things too. I made necklaces using two Armenian symbols around that time as well. I think the fact that it was the 100th, there was more conversation around it. And it kept coming up in my mind as something I wanted as basically a momentous moment of stepping forward and for the Armenian people, basically. And yes, there was wanting to capture the 100th anniversary. There was wanting to make a symbol that kind of captured it. But also my ancestors had kept a blueprint that was passed down to my grandmother and then later passed down to me, that was of a house that they had built in Kars that they had to abandon. And I thought I could maybe find it using Google Maps, and quickly realized that was not going to work. So we decided we wanted to travel. We wanted to travel to Armenia for the 100th anniversary, but we also wanted to travel into Turkey and look for the house.
Jared, you're the filmmaker. How much did you know about the genocide before the 100th anniversary? And what did you begin to think about in terms of how you would structure a film to cover it? Because that's a big topic.
Definitely. Yeah. And I'm a filmmaker and I'm not Armenian. So I did know about the genocide a good amount before the 100th. But most of it I had learned through Lilith or through what I had learned since I met her. And, because it's not something that they teach in school, at least when I was going to school. And so I definitely learned a lot more in the process of researching this film about all the detailed history of it. And, you know, it was very eye-opening, you know, the more I dug into it, and obviously just a very heavy topic to immerse yourself in. But yeah, like Lilith said, originally the plan was to do something short, but even still, it was, the idea was to focus on the Armenian people in general and maybe pick a lot of different Armenians from different walks of life and interview them and kind of show how Armenians didn't just survive this genocide, but they're thriving 100 years later. And we still included a lot of those interviews we conducted in the film to give a lot of the context and color. You know, we have Alexis Ohanian, co-founder of Reddit. We have Vahe Berberian, the comedian. We have historian Richard Hovhannisyan, and many, many more. And the original plan was just to kind of focus on all of these different people. But as we moved forward in putting the film together, we realized it was kind of dry and it felt more like a history lesson. And it was really in putting Lilith's personal journey in the center of it and the through line of it that allowed the film, I think, to become much more accessible and engaging, especially to non-Armenians who are learning about it all for the first time and can really understand the emotional toll of it, you know, and what the experience of our descendants of survivors that Lilith really represents.
And Lilith, you know, you're at the core of the story, and one of the main ideas is the struggle for cultural identity that I think you express. I've read a couple of interviews, and I again watched the film. But tell us a little bit about that background. When you began to realize that you might be of two places, maybe, you know, American, that's where you were born, but also there's an Armenian part to it. So tell us when that thinking became that, when you started to think about that, and then what was the result of that?
Yeah. So growing up, I didn't necessarily feel like I was Armenian enough, having been raised here in America. I felt kind of disconnected from it. I mean, yes, I went to Armenian school, but at home we spoke Eastern Armenian, and at school it was Western Armenian, and that confused me sometimes. And it just sometimes was overwhelming to try and live both lives. And at a certain point, I think maybe in fifth grade, I stopped thinking in Armenian and I started thinking in English. And I think that was like the big shift for me. And I was basically becoming more and more Americanized. And it wasn't until I met my husband, Jared, that his interest in my culture and his curiosity in all things Armenian kind of sparked a new appreciation in it for me.
And so, that conception of your idea, I mean, the struggle became a part of the film only secondarily, right? In other words, the story was going to be about just talking about how Armenians have survived the genocide. But then you had the idea, or Jared had the idea to include you. Where did that come from?
We were recording me along the way, just in case maybe we wanted to use it. But the whole time I was thinking, listen, I'm not Armenian enough. I'm not going to be the one to represent this. Let's find someone who actually lives in Armenia. Let's find someone who speaks the language really well. Let's find someone who practices the religion. And basically, I personally was trying to find these perfect Armenians, essentially the ones that check all the boxes. And yeah, I didn't think I would be a part of the Armenian story.
And that's interesting too, because you mentioned about this idea of wanting to be a perfect Armenian. So did you feel there were these perfect Armenians somewhere, and that you wanted to find them, or was that?
I sure thought so. But after making this documentary, I've come to realize like there's many different definitions of Armenianness, and who's to say someone is or isn't fitting in their own skin. It's a self-awareness and appreciation for Armenianness. That really is all there is to it.
And Jared, in filmmaking, you know, when you make these big documentaries, or not documentaries, but big films, you know, these even films like, you know, Earthquake or something like that, but the stories are always told through individual families, right? So I think this film does do better because you have Lily as the center of it. So can you just give us a brief outline for our audience of the basic plot of the film, kind of the movement, what happens in the film, just in a very brief way?
Sure. Yeah. No, I totally agree with you. I think that, you know, people relate to other people, and, you know, you can only, with these huge events, you can't fully grasp it or wrap your head around it unless you can kind of see another person and how it's affecting them. And so in our film, Lilith's story is really the through line of it, where the film basically starts with her looking through Google Maps for this house in Kars that her great-grandparents had built and abandoned during the genocide, and realizing that there are just way too many houses there for her to be able to find it on Google Maps, and deciding that she needs to go into Turkey, into what was Western Armenia, and look for it herself. And so in the film, we go first to Armenia and, you know, help lay a lot of the background information that the audience needs to know. And also we are there for the 100th anniversary of the genocide at the Armenian Genocide Memorial in Yerevan, Tsitsernakabird. And we document that very moving day there. And then after that, we go into Turkey to actually look for the house.
And you, I was reading in an interview that in the back of your mind, you had Michael Arlen's Passage to Ararat, which is interesting because it's a text that I've used in my classes here at Fresno State to help students sort of navigate the place of the genocide in their own stories, both Armenians and non-Armenians, but I mean, for Armenians to kind of see that. So how did that kind of play into your thinking about the film?
I read that kind of early on in our relationship when I was trying to learn more about the Armenians and the history, and started taking some like Armenian language classes and picked up a little bit of the language. And I was like, I had heard about this book that was very well regarded. So I started reading it. And I really loved the way it was written. And it, I think it's just a really fascinating picture of a man trying to kind of understand his father and his heritage and his culture. And there's definitely parallels to what Lilith's doing in 100 years from home.
And Lilith, you again were thinking about all of these things about being Armenian, and then the 100th anniversary of the genocide came about, and then now you're going to start making a film. So what were some of the other things going through your mind? Did you were thinking about your great grandmother, your family, but other kinds of things that you wanted to solve within your own mind? Did you have some other ideas? I mean, things you wanted to come out with at the end? I mean, the goal was to find the house, but would finding the house have kind of, you know, really, really been the end of the story, or the beginning of maybe of a new story?
I mean, I think it was about trying to find the house and trying to connect with my grandmother and trying to fulfill that wish and dream. But it was also trying to kind of move forward and see what was next for the Armenian people. 100 years after a genocide, how can we as a people thrive and move forward?
And your grandmother is a major part of the story. So tell us a little bit about your grandmother and the story of your family, because it's interesting. It kind of starts in Armenia, and then the family left and then came back, and then that's how you're here. So tell us a little bit about that background.
Yeah. So funny enough, the blueprint comes from my great, great grandmother, from my, I don't know how to describe this.
It's your mother's father's mother.
Yes. Who had many children, but gave it to her daughter-in-law basically trusted my grandmother with it and basically said, this, you have a house you can go back to someday.
Right. Cause it was her Lilith's mother's father's side that was from Kars that,
it's almost like this blueprint has been passed down through the women. Like it's our burden to bear.
And it was something that was talked about frequently in your family as you were growing up. I mean, from your mom and from your grandmother.
Actually, no. The house wasn't really mentioned until towards the end of my grandmother's life. So the last few years, I was basically home with her a lot, and the blueprint would come up every now and again.
So, Jared, had you been to Armenia before? Or was the trip to film the first time that you had been to Armenia?
That was my first time there, and it was an amazing experience. It's a beautiful country. I urge anyone listening to go on a trip to Armenia when you can. It's really wonderful. Everyone there is so welcoming and warm.
The food is amazing.
The beautiful landscapes and amazing ancient monuments and monasteries. No, it was a very cool and special experience for me to have gone on this trip and experienced it for the first time.
And again, a major part of the film was going to the Armenian Genocide Monument on April 24th. So can each of you tell me a little bit about what that meant and maybe something that happened there that was special in terms of your own view of what of the genocide?
Yeah, I didn't know that they had a torch lit march starting the night before. I thought that was a very moving experience. And marching up there, it was a very somber event. And I've noticed there's a parallel with the marches back in 1915 and the marches we do now as almost a symbol of we're still marching. And
it was very moving being there and to be able to document that and share that with so many people. Yes. And it's almost like a funeral procession where Tsitsar Nakaber, the genocide memorial, is on top of this hill. And so everyone is marching up this hill in these long, long lines of thousands and thousands of people. I don't even know how many.
There's an ocean of people.
Tens of thousands of people were there that day from all over the world. And everyone's got their flowers and is marching in basically silence. And once you get to the top, everyone lays their flowers around that eternal flame. And it was just incredibly special to be there for that. And then once we got to the top is when it started raining.
Yeah. So we'd heard that it rains every April 24th in Armenia. But we were doing our due diligence. We were checking the weather reports and it said it was going to be sunny. And what we were experiencing was sunny, warm weather. But once we got to the top of the hill, it started pouring the coldest rain of my life.
And this was 2015, right? It was actually mm-hmm. the actual 100th anniversary. So this was a very special occasion. Do you have any family left in Armenia or Lilith or any distant relatives at all?
Very, very distant relatives in Gyumri.
Did you get to visit, or are they so distant you don't?
We did. We wanted to make sure we captured every corner of Armenia we could, so we spent a couple days. Yeah, in Gyumri.
And Jared, did you get the chance then to video other parts of Armenia too? I mean, you were constantly taking video of the whole country, right, as part of the project.
Yeah, we have footage in the documentary from all over Armenia. We didn't get to everywhere, but we got to quite a bit of it. So we have, of course, a lot of Yerevan and Gyumri, but then we have, you know, Khorvirap, you know, and that beautiful view of Mount Ararat from there. We have Tatev in the south.
We even went into Artsakh.
Yeah, we went into Artsakh back then and filmed the Tatikupapik monument and several churches there.
Shushi and Ganzasar and
Dadivank. And Yeganadzor and what's that?
Ani Pemza. What? Which one?
The very the foresty area. Oh, Dilijan.
Dilijan, yeah. So I take it you do want to go back again, both of you, as soon as you can, back to Armenia. Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
Beautiful nature, beautiful people.
My guests today are Lilit Pilikian and Jared White. They're the director and producers and the subject of a documentary film that's going to be airing in the Fresno area, San Joaquin Valley, called 100 Years from Home. It will be airing on the 22nd and 24th of this month, next week, at 7 p.m. for a double feature. We're going to take a brief pause on all things Armenian, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Pelatzun chigalis shorjan saharitzun chigalis shorjan dunorura dun shorura shorjan aham pitaki zun kerefa shorjan dunorura dun shorura shorjan aham pitaki zun kerefa Shoerjan, sihirtes kerakov letzvat Shoerjan, ahashkeris kun chigali Shoerjan, dunorora dun shorora Shoerjan, aham pitaki dun kereva Shoerjan, dunorora dun shorora Shoerjan. Aham pitaki zun kereva shoerjan Zun chigali shoerjan saharitzun chigali shoerjan dunorora dun shorora shoerjan aham pitaki zun kereva shoerjan dunorora dun shorora shoerjan aham pitaki zun kereva
Tune into All Things Armenian, presented by the Armenian Studies Program at California State University, Fresno. Enjoy in-depth conversation on the Armenian culture and learn everything going on in the valley within the Armenian community. Listen every Sunday at 2 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Welcome back to All Things Armenian. I'm your host, Professor Barlow Dermogradichian. My guests today are Lilit Pilikian and Jared White, producers and director of the documentary 100 Years from Home. So we were talking about your visit to Armenia and Turkey, and I'd like to focus now on Turkey because I also had an experience visiting Turkey. And so it's interesting to see how different people have different reactions to thinking about going there. So when did you really want to go to Turkey? Was it just to find that house that you wanted to go, Lilit?
Yeah, basically when I was realizing I couldn't find the house that my ancestors had built with that blueprint and Google Maps, I basically wanted to go to Turkey just to look and see if I could find it in person. And for me, that was just the goal and the focus. And I wasn't even thinking too much about the fact that I was about to walk into Turkey. My family was very apprehensive I was also a little bit hesitant, but I assured them and myself that I was going as part of the tour group, that our tour guide spoke Turkish and Armenian and English, and we'd be fine.
Where did that come from? Where did that apprehension come from? What had you kind of, what pre ideas did you have about it? Preconceptions about an Armenian?
Yeah, for me, it was mostly just the fact that it's still denied that it ever took place. So if it's denied, that means they don't admit anything was done wrong. So if they don't think they did anything wrong, what's keeping them from doing it again?
Yeah, and it's still illegal in Turkey to even talk about the Armenian genocide.
Film a documentary about it.
Anything that is seen as, insulting the state of Turkey is a crime.
And so, Lily, when you actually then entered, of course, you had a little bit of a problem because you had the Artsakh visa, which when I did it, I made sure I got the one that's removable. So you don't keep it in there. But tell us.
That was my fault. I had asked specifically for it because I collect stamps in my passports. So when we went into Artsakh, I asked for one and they put it in mine and in hers. And when we got to the border of Turkey, they let me right through with it, but they stopped her. I guess they saw her last name.
Who knows? They asked a bunch of questions. I just was like, I don't know. I don't know. I was part of a tour.
Where is this place? What is this?
I don't know.
So when you visited, then did you have a chance to have any interactions with Turks? And primarily those areas are now Kurdish. But did you have a chance to talk to anyone in particular, or
I was specifically not trying to talk to anyone at all. Probably the closest I came was the border. At the border, maybe those gentlemen were probably Turkish.
Yeah, the few people we did interact with, I think, were all Kurdish. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there were some Turkish people we were indirectly interacting with, but we weren't really.
I mean, we were part of a tour. Our tour guide was the one organizing everything and doing all of the communication for us.
And she was really just trying to lay low.
And speak English the whole time.
Not draw attention to herself.
How big was your group? And were they all people from Armenia or from diaspora?
I want to say there was maybe six of us and two guides. Is that like eight?
Yeah, I was going to say 8 or 10 or something like that. They were from, several of them were from Russia. Armenians from Russia.
Some others from America. Some from Armenia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And everybody goes for different reasons they're looking for either their historic, land of their grandparents or great-grandparents or parents or whatever. So Lily, the main part of the story is, again, this search for the home. So tell us a little bit about when you got to Kars, what you had to do to accomplish your goals.
Yeah, so once we finally got to Kars, I basically broke away from the group. The tour guide had actually given me quite a bit of information that I didn't know at the time, that basically the Armenian built houses there were of black stone. So that also helped me in my search, but I already had a bunch of houses I wanted to check out based on the blueprint and the Google searching I had done. I was using the blueprint's L-shaped roof of the house and Google Maps. I was basically starring all the L-shaped buildings that maybe it could have been. And then on foot, when we would go by the houses, I would count the number of windows and see if it matched the blueprint.
And so, did you ever knock on a door, or did you ever find one that was close enough that you wanted to knock on a door?
Well, we don't want to give away the ending of the film.
Right.
I encourage everyone listening to watch on April 22nd and 24th at 7 p.m.
We won't let that secret out. We won't.
But she was definitely nervous the whole time. And
yes, I was, as I mentioned, very apprehensive about going into Turkey. And once we crossed the border, I had come to realize I'm the first person in my family to have gone back. And that was kind of a big realization. And walking in the streets of Kars, I was uncomfortable when I would see someone I didn't recognize and didn't know if they were Turkish or Kurdish or hidden Armenians or what they were. Mm-hmm. But the streets themselves, especially as it got darker into the evening and it got quieter, it just made me realize I was walking in the footsteps of my ancestors. Mm-hmm. And it really made the stories that I'd heard growing up real.
So had your grandmother communicated a lot about the genocide story, and what was your family's genocide story? Were they on marches, or were they with any part of that fits into the larger picture?
So growing up, they didn't really talk much about the genocide. It was just something we went to for marches. Honestly, the school probably taught me more about the genocide than my family. It's not something you want to talk about. It's more about like the pride of being an Armenian. That's more of the focus of distilling. And it wasn't until really starting this documentary that we started talking about our actual history and, you know, what your great-great-grandfather did, what your great-great-grandmother did, and from both sides of the family. So my grandmother, who was handed down the blueprint, she herself was from Armenia. So, or what is still Armenia?
The Russian Empire. Mm-hmm. At the time.
Yeah. You mean the cars? I was talking about Burastan.
Both.
Yeah. Yeah. So
both, yeah, but even the people, her great grandparents from Kars at the time was part of the Russian Empire. And so when Turkey took it over during the war, the Russian army actually escorted her family and all of the Armenians there out of there and into Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great. It's such an interesting story because everybody has such a different story to tell. Now, Jared, I want to ask you about some of the guests that you interviewed, because you did mention Alexis Ohanian, Richard Hovhannisyan, Rafi Hovhannisyan was in the film, mm-hmm. Vahe Beberian. And then there was also the gentleman that was in Artsakh, I think, or was he in Armenia, the one that the village had almost emptied. Can you tell us a little bit about him? And then I want to ask you a little bit about some of the other guests as well.
Yeah, he was great. His name is Sergei. He was near Garni-Gerard, just outside of Yerevan, and in a smaller village there. And he was very open and vulnerable with us in the interview. And it was very moving. And, you know, he was telling us about how, you know, so many of his friends and neighbors had left the country, and that's such a big problem in Armenia is emigration out of the country. They have lost so many people who are just leaving the country that way, and it's just sort of another challenge that they have to deal with on top of all the other ones that they have.
Right.
Which, you know, and I understand, you know, there's the economy, you know, has been difficult there for so many, and so you understand why people leave, but then at the same time, how that can affect the people that stay behind. And it was just a really interesting perspective on it that we didn't really think about until we interviewed him.
And when you were conceiving of the structure of the film, were you thinking about interviewing various types of people, or did that come about after the sort of the basic part of the film was already in place? Why Richard Hovhannisyan? Why Rafi? Or of course, you know the reason why. But in other words, why were you looking for people to interview as well?
That was part of the original idea, actually, for mm-hmm. the film, and it was to get all of those different perspectives. And we wanted people, you know, we wanted villagers, we wanted regular people, as well as, you know, scholars and historians and artists and writers and people from the church and people from the government. And we wanted to get all those different perspectives on it so that we could get kind of a broad picture of what it means to be Armenian. And, you know, we went in with ideas of who we wanted to talk to. You know, Richard Hovhannisyan was an early one we were trying to get. And, you know, Samvel Karapetyan, the monument specialist. And, but then there were a lot where once we got to Armenia, someone would say, oh, you have to interview this person. And they would refer us to them, or we would finish an interview with someone and they would tell us about someone else we should talk to. And it was this really organic, kind of natural thing that, was really wonderful. And, you know, we talked to Archbishop Argev Martirosyan from Artsakh during it, which was one of those, it was our driver who was taking us around all around Armenia, who was like, oh, through like a friend or something, he was able to connect us with him and brought us there. And we were able to interview him and get that perspective from not only from the church, but from someone who's in the church in Artsakh. And so it was really interesting and a really great, we really appreciated all the different perspectives we got from everyone we interviewed.
And Lily, when you had the idea, or when you and Jared had the idea to make the film, what was your audience? What were you thinking about? Who was this going to be directed to?
Well, that's really interesting. I think Jared probably has a better idea than I do.
I mean, it was always, the plan was always to make something that Armenians would appreciate and feel like we did them service, you know,
justice,
did them justice in telling this story, but something that non-Armenians, that Americans from all walks of life can watch without knowing anything. Maybe they've never met an Armenian, maybe they don't know anything about the genocide, and they can come in and watch this and learn everything they need to know to understand and really relate to her story and the Armenian story. And so, and that's really been the reaction we've gotten from the festival screenings we did, from the other PBS broadcasts we've had. We've had people from all different backgrounds, you know, Jewish Americans, Asian Americans,
immigrants of all different.
Yeah. Kinds. Especially children of immigrants can really relate to the story of kind of not feeling of their heritage and not feeling fully American and kind of wrestling with those different feelings.
And that idea of home.
It's really a universal story, that search for belonging, mm-hmm. and search for home.
My guests today are Lilit Pelikian and Jared White, directors and director and producers of the documentary film 100 Years from Home. For All Things Armenian, we're going to take a quick pause and a break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Տոնական գիշերներին լուսնի լույս եմ խառնում իմ համբույրներին մաքուր ջուր, մաքուր երկին, սա եմ խոստանում եմ սիրո պահերին, արցունքի տակատիլեր, աղա մարգարիտներ, ինձ գրկած ջերմակ թևեր, անիրական լավ պահեր. Հիացած կնգուշ աչքեր, որ պատրաստ են ինձ նորից գայթակղել, արցունքի տակատիլներ, աղա մարգարիտներ, ինձ գրկած ջերմակ թևեր, անիրական լավ պահեր. Thank you.
Tune into All Things Armenian, presented by the Armenian Studies Program at California State University, Fresno. Enjoy in-depth conversation on the Armenian culture and learn everything going on in the valley within the Armenian community. Listen every Sunday at 2 p.m. on Multicultural 1600 AM.
Welcome back to All Things Armenian. I'm your host, Professor Barlow Dermagerdichian. My guests today are Lilit Pelikian and Jared White, director and producers and subject of the documentary film called 100 Years from Home, which will air here in the San Joaquin Valley on April 22nd and 24th, beginning at 7 p.m., along with Stephanie Ayanian's documentary, What Will Become of Us. Thank you for joining me today, Jared and Lilit. So I'd like to continue a little bit about the film itself, Jared, in terms of the idea of a genocide film. And I know we're not talking about just, you know, trying to cover the entire genocide, but have you watched a lot of other genocide films, and did those influence you in any way in terms of what you might want to do or not have done in this film?
Yeah, I've seen several of them, and there are several very good ones out there. And we didn't want to just make another historical telling of it because it has been done and done well. We wanted to do something where we were contributing something new. And so we wanted to, yes, it is about the genocide and the 100th anniversary of it, but we really wanted it to be more forward-looking than that, and to really see where Armenians are today and how they can, you know, move forward, you know, in light of this horrific event that took place. And so that was really that, combined with using Lilit's story as that emotional through line, I think really sets our film apart from all of the other Armenian genocide films that have come before.
And making the film actually has an interesting story itself, right? The actual making of the film, because it seemed that from reading the background about it, that it wasn't such an easy job. In other words, it wasn't done in such a short period of time. Tell us a little bit about that, either Lilit or Jared, about sort of from the period of the idea to the actual completion. Tell us a little bit of that process, and maybe what were the main challenges or obstacles to that completion?
Yeah, so I think the main obstacle was we went to Armenia for about a month. We traveled to Kars and back, and we came back with like 100 hours of footage and an idea of what we thought it would be and weren't sure. So we started cutting it together with the help of our magnificent co-editor, Gayan Garagian, who was really key in helping us hone the story. Mm-hmm. Because what we initially had started off wanting to make was a 15-minute short called 100 Faces of Survival. And it was going to be about the different aspects of what makes up Armenianness 100 years after genocide. And that was coming out a little bit dry in the initial edits. And she was a big component, Gayan Garagian was a big component in getting me into the story more.
Yeah, and it was from beginning, you know, we probably started talking about doing something like this and towards the end of 2014, but really seriously decided to do it at the beginning of 2015. And then, of course, we're there on April and May of 2015 filming for a month. And then we filmed more back in Los Angeles, more interviews here with many of the other people and more things with Lilit. And it was about 4 years until the film was completed. And a lot of that was editing and figuring out the story and how much of this we need to put in. We had all these test screenings with friends and fellow filmmakers, and we would show it to them and they'd be like, oh, I didn't understand this part, or I wanted to see more about this. Or, you know, when you're so immersed in a topic, sometimes you forget what you didn't know before you got into it. And so that really helped us realize what information we needed to give, you know, how much information we needed to give, and areas where we were giving too much information, we could pull back, because we just wanted to give enough for people to really understand what was going on and relate to the story, and not so much that it felt overwhelming And that was a really tricky balance. And then also it was like deciding how much a first story to put in, which originally was maybe going to be a part of it, maybe not going to be a part of it. And
every time I saw an edit, I was like, that's great, guys. Can we just cut me out?
Every note she had was to cut some of herself out of the film more. But luckily we did not listen to that advice. With our co-editor, Gayan Gurajan, she helped us really find the heart of the film and kind of structure it around that.
And at what point did you finally say, okay, enough is enough and let's get it out? You said it's 4 years. So did you finally, or was it just that it was ready and you felt it was ready, or did you feel any kind of not rush, but did you feel that you need to get it out because you don't want to go another 2 or 3 years probably?
Certainly. Yes. We originally had a 90 minute cut of the film, an hour and a half. And we had a private screening of that with some people who helped in the film. And then we ended up cutting that down to an hour for the TV cut of it. And that's what actually premiered at the ARPA International Film Festival in Hollywood. We had a sold out screening there, which was amazing. And the response was really great. And that's when we started reaching out to PBS and getting it onto PBS stations. So it was definitely a journey from the idea of a short film to an hour and a half long film to the hour long TV documentary that it is now. But we're very proud of it.
Yeah.
And I imagine that both of you were, during this whole period, of course, were working on your own day jobs, let's call them, or maybe you weren't, but you could tell us, can you tell us a little bit about the financial challenges to this? Was it challenging to raise money and to really?
We initially did a Kickstarter at the beginning for the 15-minute short, and that was enough to cover our initial expenses of getting a camera and getting plane tickets and going out there and recording and coming back and, you know, starting our first initial edit. And we had budgeted out enough for like the initial sound and the initial music for a 15-minute short. But as it slowly kept growing, we just started contributing to it out of our own pockets, out of our own day jobs.
Yeah, we self-funded quite a bit of it. But luckily we were able to make a lot of that back in getting sponsors for the broadcast of it.
The sponsors are really what helped make this film possible, really.
But it was definitely a labor of love.
And so it's been airing this year, last year, and from the end of last year to this year. So what are your plans for it in a broader sense, just to try to get it out as much as you can? And what areas have you been in the United States, or where would you like to go, and maybe even internationally?
So we've been on, it premiered in Southern California on PBS SoCal and KCET in September 2020. And then in December, it was in Philadelphia and Detroit on the PBS stations there. And then in March, it went to this Buffalo, Toronto station, as well as the Bay Area, San Francisco. And then now in April, we're airing, of course, on Valley PBS in Fresno, as well as in Mountain Lake PBS, which reaches Montreal, Canada. That's actually going to be on April 18th. And we have some more coming up that we can't announce yet, but we're going to keep bringing it to more cities around the US and Canada soon. And in addition to that, we want to
eventually
bring it to streaming services as well, so we can make it even more accessible and bring it to hopefully people in other countries as well. And also we want to get educational distribution for it, so we can bring it, the film, to schools and universities.
Yeah, I think that would be that's a good idea, to try to get it to the universities, because I think that's where you can really get discussions about the film and, you know, screen it to students and get discussions about it. Now, you have a production company, right, called Squared Pictures. So tell us a little bit about some of your other projects that you work with. It's not only Armenian topics, but tell us a little bit about what you're working on and what you do.
This is actually kind of a departure for me, because this is my first real documentary project. Everything else I've done has been scripted, narrative, filmmaking. This has also been the biggest project I've done so far. Most of the things I've done before this have been more short form, short films that have done well on the festival circuit, commercials, and web series, a lot of videos like for the internet that have done well there. And definitely moving forward, I want to get back into that, into the scripted world on features and other things like that. Because as we talked about, making documentaries is a lot of work and is a lot of time. But definitely a lot of themes that I tend to come back to are themes of justice, themes of empathy. I think that filmmaking is one of the most powerful tools for fostering empathy, which I think we need more of in the world today. And so even my scripted stuff tends to live in that sort of world.
And would you be thinking about any other Armenian themed types of movies or videos that you would be interested in making? Anything on your mind? You don't have to reveal any secrets, but is that something that you would be interested in if an idea came?
Yeah, it's possible. I'm open to it. I don't have anything planned at the moment, but yeah, anything's possible. Anything, I'll go wherever a good story takes me.
And Lilit, so at the end of this journey of making this film, we come back to you and really your own thoughts about this whole journey that you started with as a young person, which is the Armenian-ness versus or with the American-ness. Where do you stand now? How do you see yourself now in this context as an Armenian and an American?
Yeah, I realize that you don't have to be one or the other, that no one is basically defining what it means to be Armenian. And for me, it's about the appreciation of the Armenian culture. And sorry, what was the question again?
about your own feelings. So, I mean, you know, you're saying that you feel both American and Armenian. You don't have to feel completely one or the other. We all have multiple identities and multiple layers of identity.
Yes.
So I was just wondering going through the process of going through this, which made you think about things, helped you to resolve it more in your own mind. Just, you know,
definitely making of this film, I started off at the beginning feeling very uncomfortable in my Armenian-ness, feeling like I was very barely Armenian. And after making this film, I feel much more comfortable in my skin, in my identity. And I have Jared to thank for all of that.
I was going to ask you too about your family. How about your own family? What was their reaction to the film, Lilit?
Again, hesitant in the idea of me going into Turkey, hesitant in the idea of me making a film about such a heavy topic and spending so much time thinking about all these horrible events. But ultimately, after seeing it completed, they understood and valued it.
That's great. So my guests today have been Jared White and Lilit Pelikyan. They're the director and co-producers and subject of the documentary 100 Years From Home. The story is about a woman who is grappling with questions about her own identity, about intergenerational trauma, about the genocide, the Armenian genocide, family, and also just finding yourself in the community. So I want to thank you for joining me today on All Things Armenian, Jared and Lilit.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you, Barlow.
And invite our listeners to, again, watch the documentary. It will be airing on April 22nd and on April 24th, beginning at 7 p.m. on Valley PBS here in the Fresno and San Joaquin Valley area. And it will be followed by another documentary called What Will Become of Us by Stephanie Ayanya. For All Things Armenian, I wish you all a good week ahead, and we'll see you next week for another episode of All Things Armenian. Yeah.
This was a special program on Multicultural 1600 AM.